And I've known all the preachers. I was here Monday night, the first Monday night when Brother Joe Arthur was here. And I know you've had great preaching throughout the week. So I didn't know if I needed to go to the maps and try to come up with something. But I sure am thankful for the precious Word of God. How many of you are thankful for the Bible this morning? Amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn over to the book of Genesis with me. Genesis chapter number 30. Genesis chapter number 30, and you find your place there in the Word of God. I want you to stand up with me this morning, Genesis chapter number 30, and we're going to look at a few verses together, and then I want to call your attention to a verse in the New Testament this morning and preach a thought that God has laid on my heart for this moment and this hour. Notice what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 30, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son." John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus told Nicodemus this statement, "Ye must be born," what? Again. This morning I want to preach on this simple thought, the power of a new birth. The power of a new birth. You may be seated this morning. When you come into Rachel's life and her account here in Genesis chapter number 30, you find a lady that is barren, you find a lady that is broken, and if we got real honest about the situation, you would have to say that her situation looks hopeless. She goes to her husband and says, "Will you do something about my barren situation?" But Jacob couldn't do anything about her barren situation. I believe she sought her friends and said, "Can you help me with what I am going through?" And although they could give her words of counsel, they could never do for her what she needed to be done, because all they could do was give words on the outside. But she needed something done from the inside. Although they could give her counsel, there was something that needed to be done in her life that only God could do from the inside out. And I love how the Bible comes to verse number 22, to a lady that is broken, to a lady that is burdened, to a lady that is barren. And the Bible says, "And God remembered Rachel." You know what that tells me? That God did not forget about this lady. He knew her burden. He knew her brokenness. He knew her barren. And there was a God in heaven that knew exactly where she was, knew exactly what she was facing, knew exactly what she was going through. And how many of you are glad on a Tuesday morning when you come in here and think nobody knows your needs and nobody cares what's going on in your life? I come to let you know there's a God in heaven that still remembers. There's a God in heaven that is still on the throne. There's a God in heaven that is still faithful. And I love that God did not forget about Rachel. Then you look at verse number 22, "And God hearkened to her," tells me that God did not forsake Rachel. Every single tear that she cried, every time she wet that pillow with a tear, every time she went to somebody and said, "I'm so burdened about it," I want to say there was a God in heaven that heard her every single cry. How many times have we come down to an altar and prayed, and we wept, and we cried, and nothing in our situation changed when we got back up? But I want to tell you this, every time that we cried out, every time a tear fell, there was a God in heaven that hearkened to our cry. I sure am thankful that God is still in the business of hearing and answering our prayers this morning. And then the Bible said this in verse 22, "And opened her womb." Not only did the Lord not forget Rachel, not only did the Lord not forsake Rachel, but when he opened her womb, he said, "I did not fail Rachel." Amen. The very thing that she could not do, there was a God in heaven that did do and brought forth from her life new life. There was a new birth. She gives birth to Joseph, one of the greatest type, if not the greatest type in the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus Christ. She gives birth to Joseph. John Butler gives about 100 ways that Joseph is a type of Christ. I don't have time to give those to you, and I couldn't remember them if I tried. But I do know this: Joseph was his father's beloved son. Joseph went to that place of prison. He set one captive free through his word, while the other one died. Just like Jesus on the cross, there was one thief that found life and one that found death. Both Joseph and Jesus have a garment that is dipped in blood. There's a great type of Joseph and Jesus, and she gives birth to the greatest type of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And there are three impacts that come from this new birth. Because she gave birth, because she had a new birth, what transpired in her life over this new birth? First of all, the new birth removed a burden. Notice what the Bible says here in verse number 23. She conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. All she had before the birth of Joseph was shame and guilt. She didn't quite measure up to the other ladies because they had children and she didn't have children. All she had was brokenness. All she had was burden. And all she had was barren. But it was a happy day when Joseph was birthed into her life because the shame was taken away. The guilt was taken away. The pain was taken away. Why? Because there was a new birth that transpired in her life. How many of you are thankful for the new birth in your life one good glad day when you went down a sinner and you got up a child of the King? You remember that weight that was on your shoulder? You remember the shame that was on your shoulder? You remember what everybody used to saw you and used to call you and used to identify with you? But it was a happy day when you had a new birth in your life and Jesus Christ came forth out of your life. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things were become new. And boy, it was a happy day when God took the shame and God took the guilt and God took the sin off your life and reproach was rolled away and there was a new name written down in glory and it was mine. And I'm thankful this morning I'm not where I was. I'm thankful this morning I'm not everything I should be. But when God looks at me, He doesn't look about what I was. He looks what Jesus is, and He sees me through the eyes of my new birth. Not what I was, but through the eyes of my new birth. And I'm glad I got a God who sees me through the eyes of my brand new birth. I sure am glad that Jesus is in my life, and I sure am glad that my sins are saved. I sure am thankful that my sins are gone. How many of you are glad on a Tuesday morning that your sins have been gone because of that new birth in your life? Sometimes we get fired up on all the things that God has done for us. When's the last time we got fired up over the things He's took away from us? Some of you, God took a bottle away from you. Some of you, God took a pill away from you. Some of you, God took religion away from you. And you can sing this morning, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out that He would bring me out and show me the way. How many of you are glad this morning that you've had a new birth and the removal of the burdens of your life? You say, thank God they're gone. Thank God they're under the blood. Thank God the new birth has put those things away. And now I got cause to rejoice and get excited about for what Jesus is in my life. I think about the new birth. It removed the burden. But when I think about the new birth, not only did it remove a burden, number two, it resolved a belief. It resolved a belief. Look what the Bible says here in verse number 24. And she called his name Joseph and said, now notice the first two words, the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D means Jehovah, covenant-keeping God. She never knew him. Hey, she never knew him as a covenant-keeping God until there was a new birth in her life. She knew him as God, but not as the covenant-keeping God until that new birth. We, when we were lost, knew him as God. We knew him as Creator. We knew him as the one who was up there in heaven, the highest of the highest. But I didn't know him as a covenant-keeping God until I had a new birth. But on the other side of the new birth, I found that he's a covenant-keeping God. I found that he's my shepherd. I found that he's my king. I found that he's my provider. I found that he's my supplier. I found he's my friend. I found he's my rock. I found he's my refuge. I found out everything that he said he is. He is, and so much more. And my belief in his person and my belief in who he is has gotten stronger, has gotten closer, has become more advanced. Why? Since I've had a new birth in my life, I'm thankful of the Lord. This morning, there's belief in his person. Not only is there belief in his person, but notice what it said this. The Lord shall what? Add. See, the cross is not a minus sign. It's a plus sign. I got a lot of stuff. Hey, I got a lot of stuff added to me. Since my new birth, I didn't know what joy was till I got the new birth. I didn't know what peace was till I got the new birth. I didn't know what wonderful was till I had the new birth. But thank God for that new birth. All these things now are being added to my life, and I sure am thankful for the blessings of God in my life. I think about where I was and where I am today, and I think that God has supplied my needs. He's put clothes on my back. He's put shoes on my feet. He's put food on my table. He's given me health to get up. He's given me breath to breathe. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I think about the blessings of God, and I think about the goodness of God. I gotta say that he has added to my life. But did you notice it didn't say the Lord has added? This is still future tense. He hasn't stopped. It will continue from my new birth on. How many of you are thankful that it doesn't get worse with God further on, but it gets better with God further on? I sure am glad, as preachers used to say, it gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. How many of you are thankful for God that adds to your life, and you think, I have seen his power in my past, and I can trust him with his power in the future. I've seen his provision in my life here, and I can trust him with his provision in my life out there. I've trusted him. I found him with his peace here, and I can trust him with his peace out there. I'm glad for a God that can be trusted, and I sure am thankful that he can meet our needs. And notice what he says here. Notice what she says here. The Lord shall add to me what? The moment that she gave birth to Joseph, you know what she wanted? I want to see some other fruit. Yeah. I want to have some. I need some more fruit. Isn't it funny when somebody gets saved, they want other people to get saved. We want mama to get in on this. We want daddy to get in on this. We want brother and sister to get in. Hey, I've never met anybody that was truly saved by the grace of God that didn't have a concern for lost people to get saved. There's something wrong somewhere where we've lost our desire to see people trust Christ as Savior. But I believe when you've experienced a new birth, something down on the inside says, I want to see a little bit more of this. I want to see some other people get saved. I want to see some other people get in. When Rahab found that the scarlet cord was a protective place, you know what she wanted? She wanted her family to get involved in that. She wanted her family protected by that. She wanted her family to experience the life that she was going to have one day. And I want to say that when we get saved, there ought to be a desire in our hearts. God, we want lost people to get saved. And she has resolved her belief that if he can do it for me, he can do it again. If he's done it once, he can do it again. Let me say this. If he's moved once, he can still move today. See, the problem of God moving is not on God's end. It's always been on our end. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. She has resolved. There's a belief that has been resolved. But then notice with me verse number 25. Look at verse number 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my own country. Not only did a new birth remove a burden, not only did a new birth resolve a belief, but a new birth raised a belonging. And old Jacob, he said, nah, this isn't my home. I want to go to my father's. I want to go to my father's house. I want to go to my own country. Because Laban, this ain't my country. I look around and I don't fit in here anymore. We got Joseph with us, the greatest type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't feel at home in this whole world anymore. But there is a place that I fit in. There is a place I want to go. I want to go back to my father's house. And I want to go to my father's country. Because in my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I want to say we're not believing in a pie in the sky, but we believe a city in the sky, that Jesus Christ has a place for his people. And Jacob said, this world is not my home. I've been looking at old little Joseph, and I want to go back to my father's country. I want to say I've been talking to Jesus and this world doesn't fit me anymore, but I'm ready to go to see my father's land and my father's country, and I don't believe it's going to be long, and we're going to take the big trip from this side to the other side, and what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, and we lay aside our pain and we lay aside our problems and we lay aside our sorrows and we lay aside our sufferings and we see Jesus face to face. What a day that's going to be. And it's all made possible by new birth. I was reading a story about this man who was a movie star, and he had a shady past. He had got put into prison, but he got out and straightened out his life, and they began to ask him questions. They said, what was it when you were in prison? Because most people who go to prison, they normally end up going back. What was so distinct about you? And what was the difference where you straightened your life out? What made the difference? And he was sharing his testimony, but he made this statement about prison. He said, I did something different that the others didn't do. He said, I never made it home. I didn't put up pictures. I didn't make it anything like home because this was not my home. I had a home. And I want to say we as Christians do a real good job about trying to make this thing. This is not home. But we have a home. I have a home beyond the river. I have a mansion bright and fair. I have a home beyond the river, and I shall dwell with Jesus there. You know why? Because I've had a new birth.
Hallelujah.